Chapter 45. Elder Lurie Mora. She woke to the sound of softly running water, calmer than the constant roar of rapids and waterfalls she had travelled by for the last few days. She stirred and opened her eyes, noticing by the deep blue colour of the sky and the wisps of clouds that the day had passed to evening. The western edges of the shards sailing above were gilded with the oranges of the setting sun. Shaking off a mental fog, she sat up to find Jen. He lay unconscious nearby, and at his side sat Maywan, legs crossed. Her travel gear and weapons sat off to one side, including a nearly spent quiver. A gash puckered red and angry on her face, and blood from a wound on her arm soaked through a bandage she had fashioned from a piece of her cloak. "Good evening, Shalane," Maywan greeted her without looking up from an arrow she was fletching. "It is good to see you alive and well. It seems you've come through this in better shape than most. Jen does not fare so well as you, I'm afraid." The Shalane stood and straightened her veil, taking stock of herself and the surroundings. The river ran wide and shallow, reflecting the soft sunset. The Milim Eri had left them on a quiet, shallow beach on the lee side of a low tree-covered hill. The Shalane crossed to Jen and saw the reason for Maywen's concern. Sweat beaded on his pale, haggard face. "He has a fever," Maywan reported. "I've tried to wake him, but to no avail. Has he been well? Was he hurt?" "He was hurt, but I healed it. He passed through much toil and has hardly slept since the battle. What of my mother and Fenna? What happened? Are they alive? I will tell you the full tale when we get moving. Suffice it to say that Fenna and your mother live, as do Shatan and others. They are not far from this place. But first, can you do something for Jen? I doubt we can carry him any great distance." The Shalane knelt by him and closed her eyes, trying to give the impression that she expended effort. She touched him, and his colour and breathing improved for a moment. But when she broke contact, his condition remained unchanged. She could find no sickness or illness in him in the way she was accustomed to sensing them. Puzzled, she opened her eyes, finding Maywan watching her intently. "Is something wrong?" "I can't find any injury or sickness in him," the Shalane explained. Maywan wrinkled her brow and the Shalane crossed to her. "I see you have some injuries. Let me heal them. Save your strength. They are nothing to be concerned about." "You and Jen are insufferable," the Shalane chided irritably, ignoring Maywan's objections. "You would think you two enjoyed being injured. I just don't wish to trouble you. There are others in more desperate need of your aid in the camp, or what's left of it. I think you are both proud of the little scratches and scars you get." The Shalane took Maywan's hand and concentrated. The injuries were not deep, but a couple had started to fester, despite the half-elf's herb craft. It took little effort to heal them. Maywan thanked her and removed the bandages. "Wounds are to the warrior what wisdom is to the wanderer. I will fashion a litter for Jen, if there is nothing else you can do for him. His condition worries me." The Shalane took his hand again. "Jen, wake up," she said. "We're out of the canyon." He stirred, and she released his hand as his eyes fluttered open. He slowly rose to his feet and examined his surroundings carefully, disorientation evident on his face.
"Shalane? And Maywan? Where are we? What happened?"
"We were walking through the hall and..."
"How did I get here?"
"I do not know for sure," the Shalane replied truthfully. "The same thing happened to me."
"Where are we, Maywan? Did others survive?"
Relief overspread Maywan's face to see Jen up and about, though he still appeared sickly and unsteady.
"Let's walk, and I'll tell you as we go. Dark falls soon, but the road to Elder Lurie Mora and your companions is close and easy to follow. It wasn't nearly so pronounced last year. The city awakes and invites us."
Maywan led out downriver, the Shalane following and Jen taking up the rear. Knee-high grass grew between the trees, and the sound of crickets and birds filled the air with evening song. The breeze turned cooler as the sun sank, oranges and purples wavering in the river pools.
"As you probably know," Maywan began once they had gone several hundred yards, "the evening of the ambush I left to scout as everyone set to eating. Once I crested the hill and saw what lay in wait, I turned to run back, but was forced to hide myself from two full companies of Uyumak passing by me on either side, preparing to flank the caravan. A few minutes later they unleashed the giant, but I couldn't move for fear of discovery. Once the abomination fell, the Uyumak streamed over the hill, outnumbering us 3 or 4 to 1. I picked at them from behind until I could win my way to the main force. Those who could not fight or who were important to the mission fled down the road as the fighters and magicians stayed behind to delay them enough to escape. The road was held against the flyers, however, and they had to retreat while the main force of soldiers split. Shadan Cairn led a body of men against the Uyumak on the road. I've never seen a man wield the sword like he does. He and a score of soldiers won their way through the blockade, allowing Shatan, Mirel, the Pontiff, and others to escape. Cairn did not come, however, returning to fight with his men. "What of Fenna?" Jen interrupted. "She is alive, Jen." Jeff braved the Uyumak attack to gather a horse and ride her down the road to safety. He suffered a broken arm from an Uyumak club, but he still seems jubilant and has already begun composing a song about the whole affair. I'm sure once the Shalane heals him, he will favour us with it.
"Who are we missing? How many soldiers left?" Jen asked.
"None of the magicians, including Aethrys, have shown up yet. Cairn, Tolbrook, and half the Dark Guard and their apprentices are also missing. If I counted right, we have 16 fighting men left, and that's including the 3 Dark Guard that came with us and their apprentices. The Pontiff lives, as does Padre Aethon. Jaren lives, but suffered several broken ribs and a sprain or two. One of the Dark Guard threw him over a horse during the escape. It was through Jaren's and Dason's brands that we knew the Shalane survived the drop over the falls and was progressing through the canyon. We surmised that Eugen survived if the Shalane had. We made camp near a ford in the river 2 days ago. It is close to Eldaluri Mora, and Shatan and all but the Dark Guard have entered it already for their protection. Aethon persuaded Dason to accompany them to Eldaluri Mora to aid in Shatan's protection, but Mirel, Fenna, and the rest of the Dark Guard refused to leave until you were found. I've been exploring the area near the river, seeing if I could find a way up the canyon. It is impossible."
"How far to the camp?" Jen inquired, voice weary.
"We will arrive in 2 hours' time if we can keep this pace." And keep it they did, finding the road before full dark. Despite the road's age, the stones spread before them even and smooth, providing easy walking compared to the tangles of the canyon. The 2 moons provided ample light to see the way. A dense net of stars and shards emerged in the darkening sky, and the thought that she would see her mother and Fenna soon infused the Shalane with energy. They talked little as they walked, Maewyn telling them to save their tale until all could hear so as not to waste breath on telling it twice.
"Stand fast!"
a voice barked from the darkness. The Shalane startled, coming out of deep thought. A bending bow creaked.
"Identify yourselves!"
"It is Maewyn. I have returned with the Shalane and Jen."
"Thank Eldaloth," the sentry said. "Shall I send a runner back?"
"No," Maewyn said. "Use what men you have to keep a watch on this road. We left a lot of Uyumak alive behind us a few days ago." They continued on for some minutes longer before the Shalane could make out a huddled group of bodies just off the road in the dark. They risked no fire. The soldiers came on their guard, but Fenna streaked by to hug Jen almost before Maewyn could tell the men to stand down. And then her mother was there, and the Shalane came into her arms and cried. Fenna wept as well. Reluctantly, she let her mother disengage from her as she went to Jen.
"My turn, Fenna," the first mother said.
Fenna laughed and stepped back as Mirel gave Jen an affectionate embrace. The Shalane was relieved to see Cadean come up behind.
"You are better than a son to me," she said, stepping back and placing a hand on his cheek. "I owe you everything. Thank you for bringing my daughter back to me."
"It is my pleasure to serve you and the Shalane," Jen stated, inclining his head.
"But you are warm," Mirel observed. "Are you well?"
"Just heat from the walking," he answered, as Fenna came up from behind him and wrapped her arms around him, laying her head on his shoulder.
"And," the Shalane added, "he labored hard to get me through the canyon. He barely slept. He needs rest and a caring hand."
"I am fine," Jen contradicted. "I'm rested enough to watch through the night."
"Nope,"
one of the Dark Guard protested. "We've been at camp 2 days and we'll watch for you. You've earned the sleep."
"When one of you can kill me, you can take my watch," Jen replied flatly. "It is my duty and I'm fit to do it."
His tone left no room for argument. The Shalane considered protesting but thought better of it.
"None of us will sleep until we hear the tale," Mirel prompted.
"Jen can tell the tale," the Shalane said. I will see to the healing of the wounded. The Shalane moved around the camp, tending to Jaren first, his injuries the most serious. Jen's voice, soft and deep in the darkness, told the tale with only the bare particulars, leaving out her unveiling and any mention of their conversations. In fact, the way he told it made her think he didn't enjoy their time together at all, for which she was thankful and angry at the same time. Everyone expressed concern over their strange experience in the cave and their resulting appearance miles downriver. Maywen expressed a wish to find the cave and the gazebos again once time permitted, and Fenner seconded her desire mainly to please Jen, the Shalane thought.
"I wish Ethrys were here," her mother lamented. "We need those facts he has stuffed up in that mind of his. Let's all get some rest. Tomorrow we see Elder Luri Mora and the Hall of Three Moons. Tomorrow is the real beginning."
The Shalane lay next to her mother on a single blanket provisioned for her use. Jen sat nearby, Fenner leaning on him. Jaren and the remaining Dark Guard congratulated Jen for his bravery at the falls and for leading the Shalane through the canyon. The Shalane tried to sleep, but even an hour later, when Fenner settled in at her side, she couldn't. She was awake when Maywen talked to Jen at some length in Elvish, questioning him, as far as she could tell. The Shalane wondered what he confided in her. She finally managed to nod off, but when Dawn pried her eyes open, her head felt full of sand, and her eyes hurt. Seeing Jen in full sunlight shocked her. His pallid skin and dark-rimmed eyes gave him an evil mien, and Fenner went to him immediately, feeling his forehead.
"Shalane," she exclaimed, "he is sick. Can you do something for him?"
The Shalane hesitated. She had tried before and failed.
"Do not bother the Shalane with this trifling illness," Jen told her handmaiden, taking her hand. "If we get to Elder Luri Mora, then she may make an attempt. Until then, she should save her strength for any other dangers along the way.
I will be fine."
"We should not encounter any more of the enemy ahead of us," Maywen explained as she donned her gear. "I believe the Uyumak are behind us, and as creatures of Mikkik, I doubt they will or are able to come much closer than this to the city."
And then the Shalane understood. Jen was one of Mikkik's creatures as well. The holy city rejected him to spite his maker.
The Shalane thought hard as Jaren helped her onto a horse with her mother. Jen rode with Fenner, and Maywen led out, sprinting east into the rising sun. The road led through gentle green hills covered with large, mature trees. Deer regarded them briefly before loping away, and beautiful birdsong serenaded them in the early morning light. To their left, the river ran wide and quiet, emerald in colour. The Shalane watched Jen, worry knotting her stomach. His weariness and pain mounted with every mile forward. He bore up well considering his obvious discomfiture, though Maywen and Fenner shot concerned glances at him with increasing frequency. The Shalane feared he might be killed if he rode much farther, but she could do nothing but pray he could endure whatever protection the builders of the city had prepared against him. Before long, outbuildings cropped up along the road, most artistic and beautiful without any obvious practical function save as gathering places. They passed several gazebos of similar design to the ones by the pool in the canyon. She wondered if they had already entered Elder Luri Mora without realizing it, or if the gazebos and hall she and Jen saw were part of some smaller province. Before her, the road descended and curved between steep gashes in the hills. The river separated from the road and disappeared behind a hill farther east as the steady descent finally evened up. As they rounded another corner, the city sprang into view and they called a halt. Before them, the hills split apart as if hewn by a giant axe. A tall silver gate, untarnished and finely tooled, reflected the sun so harshly the travellers had difficulty inspecting them. One side of the immense gate was thrown open, and the road continued onto a bridge. Elder Luri Mora stretched out upon an island in the middle of a deep blue lake, formed in the womb of tall, fur-covered hills. Impressively, the city seemed to lay as it first had centuries ago, pristine white buildings trimmed with gold and silver nestled in trees and fields of the richest green. The moons reflected clearly and ominously in the still water, their image disturbed only by wind ripples and reflected sunlight. Flowers and blossoms of every colour lined its streets of white granite cobblestones, and as they crossed the long bridge over the lake, the Shalane felt an air of peace and happiness envelop her, reminding her of the feeling emanating from Kihol in the vision Aldemar had shared with her. She smiled at Fenner, but her handmaiden had turned to wrap her arm around Jen, who flagged, sweating profusely. Her mother noticed his distress and angled her horse closer. As they approached, Jen straightened himself with an act of pure will.
"Press on," he said weakly. "I will rest when we arrive."
Mirel nodded and guided her horse toward her daughter.
"See if you can do something for him once we get him settled in and away from everyone," the first mother whispered. "I think he has exhausted himself. You may need to force him to sleep. Do you remember how?"
"Yes."
Jeff, Dayson, and a small contingent of Ogmarian soldiers met them on the other side of the bridge, faces happy at their arrival, though the Shalane noticed Jeff's frown upon seeing Fenner and Jen. She couldn't tell if he were disappointed to see Jen alive or disturbed by his appearance. Whatever he felt, he greeted them heartily, his arm hanging in a sling.
"Shalane and Fenner and Jen, the sun smiles on us again," he beamed. "Thank Eldaloth. I shall need the story from both of you, of course. I do not lie when I say this may well be the most interesting book I or anyone else has ever written. But come, the Hall of Three Moons is amazing. You must see it, Fenner. It surpassed my wildest expectations."
Dayson approached, face beaming. He knelt and kissed the Shalane's hands.
"I could feel you coming. I knew you would be safe. My heart nearly burst when I saw you disappear over the falls."
"I am safe,"
the Shalane soothed, finding his affection strangely annoying. Jen watched them both expressionlessly, and she withdrew her hand from Dayson's grip, realizing what he probably thought of her. She turned to Jeff and, to his utter delight, healed his arm. Maywen urged them onward. As they passed into the city proper, the Shalane marveled at the grace of the structures around her. Unlike human cities where monuments and buildings were built tall, and in spite of the environment around them, Elder Luri Mora accommodated the terrain and the trees. Not one building rose taller than the tallest tree, and everything curved naturally to match the shape of clearings and openings in the foliage. There were no harsh angles anywhere, the polished white stone appearing shaped as clay rather than chiseled. Green vines tinged with silver and red snaked up the sides of white walls, accenting rather than overwhelming the architecture. The silver and gold trim imitated the shape and size of thin-leaved creepers, reflecting the sunlight. Instead of groomed beds of flowers or well-pruned shrubs and trees, everything was let grow in its place without the governing of a gardener's spade or woodsman's saw. Crystal chimes rang in the pleasant breeze, and blossoms of pink, white, and yellows swirled thick about the road, exuding a scent that relaxed the nerves and set the mind to pleasant thoughts. Since everything appeared so new and inviting, the Shalane half expected the tenants of the buildings to emerge from the doorless thresholds. But the city's denizens had indeed abandoned it, and it had sat hidden away in the hills for years, until the Shroud Lake Shard had been discovered and the road found again. Maywen was the first to find and enter it, and she told them that the road to the city practically rose from the ground to meet her feet as she walked. The Hall of Three Moons stood in a clearing near a high hill, the tallest structure they could see from their vantage point. Towering trees abutted it from every side but the front. A border of pink and white flowering bushes ringed the building, and patches of purple and red wild flowers encroached upon the thin walkway that led to a wide, arched entrance with no door. The building itself was a wide dome, stretching some 100 feet into the air. Smaller domes were attached to four sides of the circle, creating an appearance of four corners. A semicircle patio extended away from the door, and Shatan waited there, Captain Drockley at his side. The Shalane swallowed hard. Her fiancé was travel-stained and unkempt, face unsettled and maybe even a little scared. Jaren came to her side. Jen, slightly behind, sweat beaded on his forehead, Fenner took his arm and held tightly.
"Shalane," Shatan said, voice ingratiating. "It is good to see you again."
Shatan walked around Jaren to stand in front of Jen, hands on his hips. Jen returned the stare without blinking.
"You look simply awful,"
Shatan remarked disdainfully.
"He has slept but one night in the last 5, Your Grace,"
the Shalane quickly explained,
"and was greatly taxed escorting me through the canyon."
Shatan ignored the Shalane, eyes fixed on Jen.
I want you to know something, Jen.
And for half a moment the Shalane thought he would thank him.
I will expect you to submit to the pontiff for a full examination of your actions while you were alone with my fiancée. If I find out that you so much as...
Chatan's last words were cut off, as Jen's free hand shot around Chatan's throat with such speed that those around him startled. Captain Drockley drew his sword and started forward cautiously.
Don't,
Jen ordered, face livid. I won't kill him. Drockley held back. Chatan's eyes bulged, face turning red.
You listen to me, Chatan. How dare you question my honour or the Shalane's after you visited every brothel and bawdy house in Mickmere? If you ever question her or me again, you had better be prepared to pick up a sword and fight. No one can keep me from you. Not your guard, not your father. I withdraw my statement.
Chatan gagged, naked fear on his face. The Shalane glanced at her mother, finding her face expectant, almost elated.
Good. And one more thing.
Jen freed his other arm from a shocked Fenner and lifted his shirt to reveal his brandings.
Do you see this branding? It lets me know when the Shalane is in pain. If I ever feel or discover that you hurt her in any way, I will come for you, and Eldaloth help you when I do.
Jen shoved Chatan backward, and the Blessed One landed hard on his backside. The Shalane expected Chatan to return some epithet. He instead gathered himself and practically ran into the hall. Captain Drockley resheathed his sword and followed after him, throwing Jen a challenging look. Much to the Shalane's surprise, Jaren patted Jen on the back, and her mother flashed him a smile before going into the hall. Jeff already had his book out, scribbling intently as he walked. Maywen commented something to Jen offhandedly in Elvish as she passed by, though Jen didn't acknowledge it. The Shalane, Jaren behind, stayed with Fenner and Jen, unsure of how to feel. Jen was miserable, and the Shalane reached out to feel his forehead for a fever. It was hot, but as it touched him, it faded. Realizing what was happening, she pulled her hand away. Jen said nothing.
What did Maywen say, Jen?
Fenner asked.
She said I am a dead man.
Let's find you somewhere to rest, Jen,
Fenner suggested, rubbing his arm.
I think the pontiff will hold the wedding tonight. He said there was no time to lose, and he is not faring well. You should visit him, Shalane.
I will.
They went inside the hall, finding the other soldiers who had survived gathered there. The Hall of Three Moons stunned the Shalane. A wide oval window in the ceiling, glass-tinted light blue, framed the three moons and cast a pleasant hue on everything below. On the north end of the hall stood a great throne, elegantly carved from a pale wood. Three thrones sat one level below it, all carved of the same wood, though one was charred black. A raised dais encircled the room, and above it was a balcony with a bench, offering a perfect view of the floor, on which was painted a perfect replica of all of Keyhole before the shattering. Softly arched doorways, draped with a soft red cloth, led into the smaller domes accessible from the dais. Dayson led them forward.
The pontiff and the Har Ulrich have taken the domes closest to the main entrance. We have been given the one to the right of the throne.
Very well, Mirel answered. You should all take your rest, especially you, Jen. I will visit you by and by.
The Shalane observed Jen as they crossed the floor, wondering what had inspired his sudden outburst against Chatan, especially considering what she had done to him. He stumbled more than once as he walked, always catching himself. Sweat ran from him in rivulets as he concentrated, trying to fight off the pain. Fenner supported him along the way. They found that the smaller domes contained separate chambers made private by curtains of the same cloth as the entrance. To one of these they led Jen, helping him onto a single red cushion placed on an outcropping of stonework from the wall. A series of small oval windows opened to the outside, and a simple chair sat beneath them. Jen removed his shirt and lay down heavily.
What is wrong, Jen?
Fenner asked, face concerned.
I'm so tired. My head aches and I feel dizzy and hot.
Can you do something for him, Shalane?
I hope so, she said. If you could go fetch some water, Fenner, and some food, if there is any.
Fenner nodded and left.
And Jaren? The Shalane asked. Could you wait outside and close the curtain?
He complied without comment. The Shalane came near her protector and incanted again, breathing on his face. Immediately he fell asleep, though an uneasy one. She reached out and took his hand, and immediately he relaxed, face easing and clenched muscles releasing. When Fenner returned, the Shalane pretended to concentrate.
"Is he going to be all right?" Fenner asked.
"It is a strange sickness, magical, I think," the Shalane lied. "As soon as I do the healing, it comes back. I will need to stay with him as much as I can."
Fenner nodded and sat as Jaren brought her a chair from an adjoining room. The Shalane sat as close as she could to Jen, finding ways to touch him surreptitiously to maintain the healing effect. She marvelled at how it drained nothing from her to do it. She ate and drank what poor provisions there were, hard rolls and leathery meat, and after some time her mother arrived, Maywen in tow.
"Jaren, Cadean, come in here," Mirel ordered. "Did you put him to sleep, Shalane?"
"Yes."
Fenner's eyes went wide.
"You put him to sleep?"
"It is a talent the Shalanes have had for some time, among others, Fenner," the First Mother replied. "It was necessary to get him to rest. He is stubborn and would insist on watching until he killed himself. We need to plan, however. The marriage will happen tonight, and after that, Shatan will rule all kingdoms, and we will be honour and faith bound to obey him. I fear what he will do to us, and Jen most of all."
"Is there still no sign of Ethrys or Shadan Cairn?" Jaren asked.
"I'm afraid not," Maywen answered. "I just walked to the scouts, and they have found no evidence of either one. I find it hard to believe that they are dead. Both are powerful in their respective arts, but both stood in the thick of the fight. We can only hope they return soon. Besides Jen, Torbrand Cairn is the only one Shatan fears."
"Nevertheless," Mirel said, "they are not here and cannot help us. Maywen, has the Ha'ulric discussed what he intends to do when we leave? What path we will take?"
"He has not," she answered, "but I would guess that he will follow my lead. We really have only two choices, since we must stay off the road. We go northwest, which is the fastest, or northeast and then west, which will allow us best use of the horses but is significantly longer.
Which will you recommend?"
"Neither road will be easy. The northwestern passage, since it is our most probable route, is the most likely to be blocked by the Uyumak that followed us and whatever reinforcements they managed. We no longer have any force large enough to confront them, and they will no doubt be thick enough to trap us if we try to slip through unnoticed. I would recommend going northeast into the hills."
Mirel nodded.
"Whatever he decides, we will need to follow and try not to upset him. Criticizing him or flouting his commands will only bring us misery. I had hoped Shatan would have enough intelligence to leave Jen as the Shalane's protector, since he is the best fighter we have. But after the confrontation in the courtyard, I think the Blessed One will see Jen dead at the first opportunity. Jen undermines his authority and turns people against him, and if I were in Shatan's place, I would want him gone. I, however, want Jen to live for my own reasons, and he must hide outside of Shatan's reach to do so."
"I agree," Maywen said.
"As do I," put in Jaren.
"What can we do?"
Fenner asked, face worried.
"I think Jen suspected he would be dismissed from service, but not killed. He thought all the Dark Guard would be relieved of duty."
"Before the Uyumak attack, I think that might have been true," Mirel argued, "but Shatan's guard was decimated, leaving him only Captain Drockley and six others. He needs what's left of the Dark Guard now, but as I said, Shatan will see Jen as expendable. I'm sorry, Fenner. He must leave us."
Fenner's face was steady and calm.
"I feared it would come to this. I am ready," she stated resolutely, "but he won't leave the Shalane's side without being forced to. Will anyone go with him?"
"No," Mirel answered flatly. "We cannot spare anyone. He will do fine on his own. Both Maywen and the Shalane can attest to his skill in the wild. But we must all work to convince him to go. Maywen and I have worked out a plan. We will keep Jen asleep through the wedding and tell Shatan that he is too sick to attend or watch over the Shalane tonight. While Shatan and the Shalane are... well, during the night, all of us, save the Shalane, will ride Jen to the end of the bridge. I will wake him, and we must all do our best to force him to see reason. If he disagrees, I'm not sure what we'll do. You will be the most important, Fenner. Prepare your arguments well."
"I will, milady.
I think we will succeed. He expects this, as I said.
Very well. The most important thing is to keep him away from Shaitan and those loyal to him until we can get him away. Shaitan will find out what we've done, but at that point it will no longer matter. Now I must go. If you talk to anyone, just mention that Jen isn't well and that he is being attended to. I will return in the evening to prepare you for the wedding, Shalane.